We're learning Daf Nun Tes and Masechtas Ksubis. We are going to start from actually the second to last line on the bottom of Nun Chesim Abeis. The Gemara right before that had just said very quickly the situation based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah discussed the case where a husband says that I want your Maisi Adayim to become hektish, and then so the Mishnah said that it's not hektish, it belongs to her. Then the second part of the Mishnah discussed the fact that what if he said the moiser, because a wife is obligated to a certain amount, 5 sloim every week, that's what the wife's obligation is, so that she, you know, that belongs to him. But since the case we discussed in the Mishnah was that he's not giving her mezainah, she gets to keep it, so that's why he's not able to makdish. But the moiser, the extra above and beyond that, that technically she doesn't have a chiyuv to give it to the husband. Well, depends on whether the husband is also giving her what we call, refer to as the ma'ah kesef, the extra ma'ah for her to take and to use in any way that she wants. So, the case, we'll get to that in a second, but about the extra above the base amount that she is required to work for her husband, not work for her husband, but to work to generate some sort of income in the house. So any amount above that, that's a machlekes. Reb Meir says that it's hektish because that goes to the husband. And Reb Yochanan HaSandler says that it's not hektish. Okay, so we're going to discuss now in Shitas Reb Meir. We're going to focus on Shitas Reb Meir for the moment. Shitas Reb Meir says that it is hektish. But the Gemara wants to know, okay, when does it become hektish? So first we started off with, the Gemara says, it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel that say that it goes to hektish only after she dies. In other words, she produces $100, whatever it is, then she dies, the husband yarshins it, and because he had promised, everything goes to hektish, so then eventually when it gets into his hands, now it's in his pocket, so now it goes to hektish. That's Rav and Shmuel Shito. Whereas Rav Ada Bar Ahava says, no, it happens right away. Listen, if there's no reason for her to keep it, then it's extra. Everything really goes to the husband. It should go to the husband right away. It should become hektish right away. So that's the basic machlekes. So what we're going to pick up with now on the bottom of the Amud on Nun Chesim Beis is we're going to pick up what is the case. What they're arguing about, whether it goes to the husband right away or it only becomes hektish later. What's the situation in terms of whether the husband is giving her the amount that he owes her? We're discussing what goes to him, but what about what goes to her? So let's start from the second to last line on the bottom. The case is like this. He is giving her, he is supporting her with basic food and needs. But he's not giving her that extra ma'a kesef that she could take wherever and per week and do whatever she wants. So that would explain why some of the mezoinos, on the one hand, since he is giving her the mezoinos, that money maybe belongs to him. But the fact that he's not giving her the extra, what matches up to the extra does not belong to him. And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss right now. Rav Shmuel Savar Tiknu, now on the top of Nun Tes Amud Aleph, mezoinos tachas maisi yodeho, that the fact that he's giving her the mezoinos is goes directly towards the fact that whatever she produces goes to him, and that's the base amount. Umo kesef, and the fact that he gives her that extra dollar, tachas moiser, that goes to take whatever she produces extra. Okay, so now it's very simple. The kivon deloy kayov la umo kesef, since in our scenario, he's not giving her that extra dollar to do whatever she wants, so moiser didohave, so then she doesn't have to give him the extra. If he's not giving her the extra, she doesn't have to give him the extra. It's not a complicated theory. If I'm not paying you, you don't have to pay me. No problem. And that's why it doesn't become hektish right away. It only becomes hektish after she dies. Then it becomes his. So of course, then he has to make it hektish. And the flip side of this is, so what would Rav Ada Bar Ahava hold? Rav Ada Bar Rahabasavar, Tiknu Mizoinus Tachas Moiser. He says, no. You got the match is incorrect. The Mizoinus goes for the extra. Not like we thought till along. This is a unique sheet that we don't usually say this, but this is his opinion. The Mizoinus goes instead of the extra. Umo Kesef Tachas Maisri Yodeho. And the extra that the husband is paying, that goes to the base that she earns. Okay, so since in our case, kivan de kayov lo mezoinoi, and since in our case that's the way we set it up, it doesn't have to be this way, but that's the way we set it up, that the mezoinos is going towards, he is paying her the mezoinos, so he does get the extra. So since he does get the extra, because remember, according to Rav Adar Bar Ahava, that's the matchup, so since he's getting the extra, so that's why it becomes hektish right away. Moiser di de, okay, the kivan de kayov lo mezoinoi, moiser di de have. Sorry, right. Since he's giving her the mezoinus, because he's giving that right away, then the extra goes to him, because the mezoinus connects to the base mezoinus. Fine. So now, but my kamiflagi. Now, it's very nice that they have this machloikis, whether the mezoinus is for this, the mezoinus is for that, but why would you say what you say? Why would the mezoinus go to the base, or why would the mezoinus specifically go towards the extra? So the Gemara says it's really based on a logic. Mar sover mi did the shchiach, mi did the shchiach. So one opinion, so if you go to mezoinus is very shchiach, because she needs that every day. She needs that every week. And the ma'aseh yadayim is also shchiach, because that's basically what everybody earns. Everybody earns the base. So therefore, it would make sense to match those two up. The shchiach to the shchiach, the thing that you know for sure is going to happen. Umar Sovar and Rav Adar Bar Ahava says, me did the kayets, me did the kayets. He says, no, I'd rather have a set amount to match up to a set amount. Because the extra, I don't know what it's going to be. And so I don't know what the extra is going to be. I don't know what the mezoinus is going to be. So I don't know what the actual amounts are. They could be different every week. So why would I say I'm giving an unknown amount to your unknown amount? I'd rather say I'll give you a set amount and you give me a set amount. And that's why the Mo'o Kesef goes to the Mezoinois, and the Maisi Yadayim goes for the Mezoinois, right? Because those two are not set amounts, so that's why those two match up. Meisvei, the Gemara asks as follows. Tiknu Mezoinois Tachas Maisi Yadayim. Oh, we have a Braisa that says very clearly that the Mezoinois does match up to the Maisi Yadayim, not to the extra. So that would be a kasha on Rav and Shmuel. So he says, Eimo tachas moiser maisi yodeh. Even though it doesn't say the word moiser, what it means to say is it doesn't mean the maisi daim, it's missing the word moiser, that the mezoinos goes for the extra. Alright, Tashima, so I'll bring you a different raya. Im einoi noisin lo mo'o kesef l'tzorcheh, if the husband doesn't pay the extra, maisi yodeh shalo, she gets the maisi daim. Oh, so now we have a proof that that his extra goes to her maisi yodeh, goes to the base. So it does, the kayetz goes to the kayetz. So once again, the Gemara makes the same change. Ema moiser maisi yodeh shalo. Enachanami. If he's not paying her the extra, then he doesn't get the extra. And you have to add in the word moiser. You have to add in the extra above the maisi yodeh. Problem is, v'haloh ketoni, this brisa that says that the mo'o kesef goes to the maisi yodeh is going on mahi oisoloi, mishkal chamesh shloim, shesi b'yehuda. It's going on explaining what the base salary is. It's going on the fact that what does she produce every week? 5 shloim worth of shesi, which is the harder part, the whoop and the wharf, the harder part of the loom to do. So that's what she has to do for 5 shloim every week. So we see that it's defining the base salary. It's not defining the extra salary. So why would you say that the Mo'o Kesef goes for the extra? So the Gemara answers, Hachi Ka'omar. Maisa Yodeha Kamehave Deleda Maisa Didei. If you want to know what is considered extra, you first have to know what the base is. You can't figure out the extra if you don't know where the starting point is. So that's why the Mishnah is discussing what the base is, so that we can get to what is the extra. Kamo, how much is the base? Mishkal Chamesh Shloim Shasi B'Yehuda Shein Eser Shloim B'Galil. So that's worth 5 Shloim in Yehuda, which happens to be the same amount as 10 Shloim in Galil, because the Shloim in Yehuda are worth double the amount. So what if I'm doing 5 in Yehuda and they're worth twice as much, So then, Anachanami, that's the same thing as 10 Sloyim in the Galil. In any event, so we don't really have a proof whether the Moa Kesef goes to the extra. You could say it either way. I mean, I know you have to add in that extra word Moisa. You do have to change the Gersa a little bit, but it's the type of change in the Gersa which nobody seems to be troubled by. So it could go either way. So that's why both Rav and Shmuel's Pshat versus Rav Avda Bar Rahava's Pshat, either way could work into the Braisa. Okay. Till now, as I said in the beginning, we were focused very much on Rav Meir Shita. Rav Meir Shita says that when I talk about her extra income, that is hektish, and it's just a question of when it becomes hektish. However, the Gemara now changes gears and says, Amar Shmuel, this is interesting, because remember, Shmuel was one of the Mandi Amrim that was defining Rav Meir. But now all of a sudden, Amar Shmuel says, Halacha Rav Yochanan Asandler. He says, by the way, we don't even hold of Rav Meir, we hold of Rav Yochanan Asandler that it's all together chulin. It doesn't become hektish at all. The husband has no right to discuss what happens with her extra income. Fine. So the Gemara says, Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi, does Shmuel really hold that he has no right and he has no connection to the extra money she earns? But not. We learned in the Mishnah as follows. Again, this Mishnah is a completely different Mishnah, a different halacha, but it discusses the extra that she earns. Koinim sha'ani oisa l'picho, ein etzarech l'hefer. If a wife one day wakes up and says, whatever I earn should be like hektish to you. Okay, so first let's discuss what that concept is. That concept, of course, a person is always able to donate his own property to hektish. I'm able to make my property hektish, but when I make something hektish, it belongs to hektish, and therefore it becomes usher to the whole world. There is this concept called koinim, where I can make an item specifically like hektish to a specific person. In other words, it doesn't belong to hektish. I could just make the relationship between that item and that person the same type of relationship that somebody would have to hektish, which means they're not allowed to have hana from it, they're not allowed to use it, and so on and so forth. Okay, that's the concept of koinim. It's a very unique, interesting concept that I could decide I want this item to be like hektish as far as you are concerned. It doesn't belong to hektish, but you're going to consider it hektish. Now, in this situation, the wife decides to say that whatever I earn should be considered hektish to her husband, which of course is a problem, because, you know, the wife does whatever she does a lot of things. Besides the fact that she might go to work and earn a living, but she also makes his bed in the morning and she cooks for him and whatever, you know, whatever those things are that we're gonna see that a wife is supposed to do, right? So it's a problem. So the halacha is like this. Since this is a neder, a koinim is a type of neder, the Tanakama Shita is that I don't even have to be made for that neder. Why? Because she has a shibud. She has an obligation to do these things anyway. So she's not allowed to say that. She's not allowed to undermine him and say, oh, by the way, whatever I do, you're not allowed to enjoy. She's not allowed to say that because she has an obligation to do that. It would be like a guy saying, I don't have an obligation to do Shabbos. Doesn't matter. If I make a neder, I'm not keeping Shabbos, that's useless. It's a meaningless neder because I can't go against what the Torah says. And if she has an obligation, she already has that obligation, she can't just throw it away by making nedarim to undermine it. That's the Tanakama Shita. However, there are other Shitas over here. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Yefer Shema Tadif Alav Yosem and Aroyloi. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's a good idea that he should be made for the neder. You're right. Because it's true that the base, there are certain things she has to do. But there are things that she can go above and beyond, which she doesn't have to do. If she earns more than the necessary living, she earns extra, that she doesn't have to do, and then you're gonna get stuck. Then you get into trouble. Can I keep this dollar? Can I not keep this dollar? It's gonna get very complicated. So just make, even though the base you don't have to, I agree with the Tanakhama, the base doesn't need a, you don't even have to undo that. But since there's more than that involved over here, I have to be careful. I don't want to get stuck in the nuance of it. So I'll just be made for the whole thing. That's Rabbi Akiva Shita. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, and the third Shita says Yefer Shema Yigar Sheno. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri has a different approach. He says, even though you're right, again, everybody agrees with the basic idea that the Tanakhama Shita says, that you can't make this neder on the base. But it might happen that he'll end up divorcing her. And after he divorces her, he's going to want to remarry her. But he can't. You're not going to be able to remarry her. Why? Because it's true, while they were initially married, she couldn't make the neder. But the moment they get divorced, she's not meshubah to him anymore. They're not married. And then the neder will be chal. And once the neder's in place, he can't undo that neder, and everything that she does is also, he'll never be able to remarry her, because you can't live in that type of relationship where she can't do anything for him. That everything she does is also to him. That would be impossible. So therefore, be made for the neder now up front, so that you don't run into this problem in the future. The Gemara continues, V'amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So, we see, but Shmuel himself paskins like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that says that we are worried that, you know, about what might happen about the Hadafah. Okay, so we see according to this, that the whole issue over here is only, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, is only because of what might happen in the future. They might get divorced and they might get remarried. So we're dealing with the Davar Shaloi Ba'i Le'olam. So if we deal, right, so we see, right, we see that seems the simple explanation over here, is that we are concerned about a davar shaloi ba'i le'olam. Now remember, Shmuel was he's passing like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, that says that it's not hektish, that it's chulin. Now if you hold that you're worried about a davar shaloi ba'i le'olam, why is it not hektish? Okay, maybe it's not hektish at the moment, but it could become hektish later. Right? So what happened to that part of Paskin like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler? So the Gemara says, Ki Amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Lahadofa. Enochanami. He only meant, he didn't really, a Dabar Shaloi Ba'i Le'olam is not really a problem. He only meant the Hadofa, which could happen right now. So therefore it could happen right now, so that's why we paskin that you have to worry about this, you have to be made for the neder, because it could happen right now. So the Gemara says, 1 second. If that's what he meant, that we're only worried about the Hadafah, which could happen right now, so say that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan regarding the Hadafah and not everything, because that's a big difference. Inami ain't halacha k'tanakama, or say we're not worried about the Tanakama about the base, because the Tanakama is focused on the base and we're not focused on the base. Inami halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, or even better, would be just to say paskin like Rabbi Akiva, which is exactly Rabbi Akiva's point. Rabbi Akiva's point is that we're worried about the Hadafa. We're worried about the extra. So why are you paskining like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and limiting it to the Hadafa? Just simply go ahead and talk about Rabbi Akiva Shita, which is exactly on point, which is about the Hadafa. So that doesn't make any sense, that Shmuel was only talking about the Hadafa. So we are back to our original problem, which is Shmuel seems to paskin by Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that we're worried about davar shaloi ba'i le'olam, and at the same time is paskin like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler that says no, it's not chulin, don't worry about what happens in the future. So make up your mind, are we worried about the future or we're not worried about the future? So finally the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, Kainamos Kamris. You're bringing up a question from the sugya of Kainamos. Remember that special promise that things are also specifically to you. Shani Kainamos. Kainamos work have different rules. I could paskin whatever I want about Davar Shaloi Ba'i Le'olam or not. Right, I could say really Davar Shaloi Ba'i Le'olam since it doesn't exist, I don't have to worry about it at all, and therefore I can't make a neder. Over here, the neder, this type of koinem, will be chal because koinem operates in its own sphere. It has its own rules. Why? Mitoch she'adam oiser peiros chaveray alav, adam makdish Davar Shaloi Ba'i Le'olam. Okay, so let's point out something that's very unique about koinem. Normally, I cannot discuss your property. Okay, let's say, for example, you have a talis, you put it on every morning, and I decide that your talis is hektish. Now, can I make that decision? Can I say anything about your talis? Of course not. It doesn't belong to me. It's not mine, it's not in my control. There's nothing about it that allows me to make a neder about it. I can't make it hektish. However, for some reason, I could talk about I can make a koinim on your talis. I could say, your talis is also to me as a koinim. I can't make it hektish to the world, but I can make it hektish to me. So we see already that koinim works in a different way. It works in an abnormal, even though it's something that I don't own and I can't discuss, it's not my business, but for some reason, I do have the right to control making your thing usur on me. Okay, so therefore the Gemara says, once it has that unique characteristic that I could discuss something that's out of my rishos, I could also take it to the next level, I can extrapolate and say I could even discuss the davar shaloi ba'al yodom. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, so now, really, davar shaloi ba'al yodom doesn't normally work. However, koinim, since it's unique and weird in some way, it has this unique characteristic, so therefore davar shaloi ba'al yodom will apply to koinim as well, and that's why we're passing like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, specifically by koinim, that we have to worry about the divorce and remarriage case, which doesn't exist at the moment, but we have to worry about that, because it's a koinim. So that was Rabbi Yosef's teretz. So Amalei Abaya, who, as we know from other Gemaras, was Rabbi Yosef's Talmud, was his student. Amalei, so Abaya said to him, I don't understand what you're talking about. Bishloim Adam Oyser Peres Chaveroi Olov. I understand the concept that I can make your peres on me, because it's really about me. You're right, it's not my food, it's your food, but it's about me. I can make it aser. Shekein odom oyser peiroi saval chaberi. Similar to the fact that I can make my pears, which I clearly control, and I can do whatever I want with them, including making them aser to you. So if I can make my stuff aser to you, I can make your stuff aser to me. But that's a you and me direct relationship. But if that's true, you're going to say, therefore, I could even say something that doesn't exist? Either it's mine or yours, but it's about me at the moment. I could therefore, you're telling me I can extrapolate to even something that doesn't exist yet? And I'll prove it to you that when it doesn't exist, I can't make an eder about it. Because I cannot make your peiros usur on you. And why? Because as far as I'm concerned, I don't exist in that picture. Your peiros, your iser, it doesn't, in my world, that's a davar shaloi ba'al yodom. It doesn't exist. When it involves me one way or another, so I exist in that relationship, so I understand why I can make it usur. But when I don't exist in the relationship, your peiros and your iser, I cannot get involved. So we see that really that's similar to a davar shaloi ba'al yodom that doesn't exist at the moment. So therefore, it should really be a davar shaloi ba'al yodom, even by koinim, a davar shaloi ba'al yodom should not be able to work. So therefore, Abaya does not like Rabbi Yosef's teretz. So we're back to the original question: does Shmuel hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the context of a davar shaloi ba'al yodom or not? Elo, Amar Rav Huna Bereda Rabbi Yeshua. So Abaya doesn't have his own teretz. He just doesn't like Rabbi Yosef teretz. So Rav Huna Bereda Rabbi Yeshua gives a different teretz. So he says the case is like this. The case isn't where she says, I want to make my earnings usher to you, because the earnings don't exist yet. You have to go to work and make the money. But rather she says, I want my hands, which exist right now, I want my hands to belong to Hashem. So if my hands that exist, the adayim isnu ba'olam, my hands that exist. So now we're not discussing the davar shaloi ba'al yodom at all. So therefore, really, when it comes to davar shaloi ba'al yodom, Shmuel will agree it's a problem. It doesn't work. Don't talk about it. But the case of the koinim was that I made my hand aser, and my hand exists. So my hand belongs to Hashem. So anything that my hand produces will belong to Hashem, and that's why it's going to be aser. V'chika amra hachi. Oh, so fine. And that's why this case is unique. Now the Gemara asks a technical question. So now I don't understand. So now let's talk about the actual case. So we're saying that she decided her hands belong to Hashem. No problem. Does that actually work? So she's Meshubadim. And remember we discussed in the beginning of the Gemara, we discussed that if somebody wants to decide that he doesn't want, you know, he wants to make a neder about Shabbos, I can't do that. I can't go against the Torah. The same thing is she can't go against her obligation against her husband. So that neder is not chal in the first place. So what's the issue over here? So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. The case is the Umrah, the Lechi Megarsha. Senachanami, she's saying, you're right. Right now I can't do anything about it. But eventually when we get divorced, then my hands are going to belong to Hashem. And then that's exactly Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that says the problem is that maybe they'll get divorced, the neder will be chal, and then he'll try to remarry her and he won't be able to remarry her. That's exactly the case. So the Gemara says, but that's exactly the problem. So that's exactly what we're discussing all along. Right now, she can't make it go into effect. So then why does later it go? That's the whole point of davar shaloi. If she can't do it now, so what kind of neder is it that it's gonna be in the future, it's gonna happen, some might, you know, whatever. That's the whole, if I can't do it now, then I can't make the neder now. So why not? I can make a neder about something that will happen in the future that then the neder will be chal. So, ilu, isn't this the case? There is another case. Now, before we get into this Gemara, the Gemara is going to go back and forth on what the case is exactly to prove whether or not I can make a neder about something that will happen in the future. So let's, again, we're going to go back and forth. This is going to carry us all the way to the Mishnah in the middle of Nuntes and Beis. So we just have to keep track of what stage the Gemara is up to. So the Gemara says like this. Don't we have a case like this? So I own a field. I'm going to sell it to you. When I buy it back from you, tikdash, it then will become hektish. Won't it become hektish at that point? So we see that even though I'm talking about the future, I could discuss what's going to happen in the future under different circumstances. So we see, no problem. I could make it hektish. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Maskif lo Rav Yirmiyah. So again, we're going to go back and forth on this. Maskif lo Rav Yirmiyah, midami. That's not comparable to the case of when I get divorced. The difference is that over here, what's the case? I own the field. I own the field at the moment. I don't really have to sell it to you and buy it back. I can make it hektish right now at the moment. Versus the woman is married. And right now, when she is married, she cannot be makdish her hands. So what are you discussing when I get divorced? That's a future thing that she has no control over whatsoever. She shouldn't be able to make a neder about something that she has no control over. Holoi damyo, if you want to make a comparison to owning a field, it's comparable to this case. Loim lechaveira, so the zusha macharti lecha, the field that I already sold to you. So I don't own the field at all. Right now it belongs to somebody else. And I say, when I buy that field back from you, but again, you own it at the moment, taktish, I want to make it hektish then. The halacha is the loikotcha. Over there, you see, it's not hektish. So we see it doesn't work when it's not in your control. So that's exactly the case over here also. Her hands are not in her control. She's meshubah. Those hands are meshubah to her husband. Okay, but the Gemara says that's not a perfect case either. Maskif lo rapapa, midami. Again, that case when the field belongs to somebody else, it's not comparable at all. Hosam gufa upeirois biyadu dolakeach. Over there, that's because the field and anything it produces and what we'll refer to as the earnings also don't belong to somebody else. That's why my words about hektish are meaningless. Hacha gufa biyadahu. Over here, her hand, it is her hand. Right? Her hand, so it's true that she cannot, her earnings are meshuvah to her husband, but her hand is her hand, right? The husband doesn't have a right to chop off her hand. Can't chop off her hand, it belongs to her. Oh, my hand, I can discuss my hand. My hand belongs to me. Holoi damya elo, so if you want to make a real comparison, you have to compare it to the following. Eloim lechaveiroi, now on the top of Nuntesima base, says, so the zu shemashkanti locha, likeshef denom imcha taktish. So the case is like this. I borrowed money from you, so I gave you a field as a mashkin, as a collateral, and you're now holding on to that field, and the deal is that when I pay you back the loan, you're going to give me back my field. Okay. And I say to you, fine, no problem. Right now you're holding on to my field. When I buy that field back, or when I pay off my loan and get my field back, then I want it to be hektish. Dekotcha. And the halacha is that it's hektish. Oh, so we see. So what do we see from that case? That since I am in control, it is belongs to me, I can discuss the future, because as long as I have, and that's the same thing as her hands. Her hands belong to her. Now she has to be busy with it, and the same thing, the field also is busy paying back the loan, but it belongs, it's still in my possession, I still own it, and it works. I could be makdish it, so her two hands also, she could say about her hands, my hands are in my possession, I can make them hektish. Okay, I'm a shubid right now, the earnings go to the husband, but the moment the earnings don't have to go to the husband, my hands are already hektish. So it should become hektish. So the halacha is that I should have to worry about it, which would be nice. That would work out like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, but again, it's not a perfect comparison, because Maskif lo Rashisha Berei de Rav Idi. So he asked the following question: Midami. Again, it's not a perfect comparison. Hosam biyodo liftoisa. You know why it works in hektish when I gave you the collateral? Because I could pay off this loan at any moment. I owe you $10,000. I just walk into your house, give you $10,000. That field is 100% mine. I could do that now. I could do that later. I could do it at any moment. Therefore, I can make it hektish at any moment. Again, over here, yes, it's true that she owns her hands at the moment. But those hands are not free for her to use however she'd like. Those hands are meshuvah to him. So she cannot decide what to do with hands in a different circumstance that she cannot control. Right? Because remember, she's saying, I understand, I have my hands, but I only want them to be hektish when I get divorced. But we're talking about a situation she doesn't control. So again, you're back to the same problem, that she doesn't control the situation. So how could she make them hektish? So haloi damya elo lo oimer lechaveiro isoda zu shemeshkanti lecha leeser shonim. So if anything, it's comparable to the case where I gave you collateral and I defined how long you're going to have that collateral. You are going to have that collateral for 10 years, or like in modern society where you do a lease. Let's say, I know it's not the same thing, but you do a lease for 10 years. Now, during those 10 years, that lease belongs to the tenant. I own the property, you own it, but it's meshubet to somebody else during those 10 years, that 10-year lease. So therefore, the same thing over here also. He says that collateral is his for 10 years. I don't control it, and I say, the words that I say is, likashef tenem imcha, when I get it back from you, in 10 years from now, tiktish, it should become hektish. The kacha, so it does become hektish. Oh, so we see, it's very nice. So we see that even though right now, at the moment, I don't control it, it's only going to become mine later, and even so, I could make it hektish. That's what we're looking for right now. We're looking for a situation where I can't control it, but I can talk about the future when I will, and it works. So the same thing over here also. You're right, her hands she can't control at the moment, so we'll talk about the future when she will. Eventually, she will own it. So one second, the Gemara says once again, it's not a perfect comparison. Maskef la Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi now asks, "Mi dami hasam le'eser shana mi abiyada liftoisa." Over there, after 10 years, we know it's immediate, automatically, he can control it. Over here, she'll never be able to control that situation. So when she's talking about her hands, she's talking about something which may never, ever happen. So therefore, how could she discuss her hands? She could talk about something that's never going to happen, and we're expecting that kind of neder to be chal. That's not the way we think about nedarim. We don't think about nedarim. Let's talk about the impossibility, and then we'll discuss what will happen if. You know, that's something you sit around the Shabbos table discussing something. You know, the theoreticals. What if I had a million? What if I won the lottery? That's what we're discussing over here. Hopefully, she's not looking at her marriage as winning the divorce as winning the lottery, but it could happen, right? So therefore, at this moment, we have no proof, we have no concept that she could talk about being makdish, her hands, either her hands or the Maisi Yadayim, for something that may or may not happen in the future. So we're back to our original question. So Shmuel becomes, now we're back to our problem with Shmuel. Shmuel contradicts himself. On the one hand, he paskins like Rav Yochanan Sandler in our Mishnah that says that it remains chulin because I can't know what's going to happen. On the other hand, he paskins like Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri that I have to worry about what happens if they get divorced. So make up your mind. Are we worried about the future or not? So finally, the Gemara says, "El Amar Rav Ashi, Koinomas Kamras." Again, we're going to go back to the original problem that you're asking a question from the sugya of Koinom, which is that unique type of neder that I make something specifically. Shani Koinomas. Koinomas itself operate not like we said before that it had special rules. It's not because it has special rules. It's because the kedushas haguf ninu. The way koinomas works is that it makes the item itself the kaddish. Now remember, I said koinomas work similar to hektish. Koinomas is a hektish type of concept. I could donate something to the Beis HaMikdash. And if I do so, what happens? Now that it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it is hektish. It becomes usher to everybody. So koinomas also, except instead of making it usher to everybody, I'm making it usher to you. Now we have to define, when I donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, there's two ways to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, or two different levels of hektish. There's a type of hektish where I give hektish a financial gain, so that hektish could do whatever it needs to do. We'll refer to that as bedek habayis. And then there's a type of hektish where I give it to hektish that the hektish uses the item itself. Like the classic example is a korban. I give the animal to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is going to use that animal for a korban X. But they're going to use the animal itself. Now the difference between the two is there's a major difference between the two. If I donate an animal, the animal could have pigeon. If I donate the animal, let's say eventually it gets a mum or something, I could be paid to the animal, I could buy it back from hektish. If I donate an object to the Beis HaMikdash that doesn't have a particular use, it's just eventually hektish will sell it, but I cannot be paid it. I cannot redeem it. I could buy it back. Hektish can sell it in the ordinary course of business, but I cannot say, oh, you know what, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to give my fork. I want my fork back, and I'll give you $1 for my fork. You can't do that. You can't redeem things like that. Now, okay, so now that we understand hektish has two levels, which one is koinim? when I use the concept of koinim, which we said is comparable to hektish, at least with respect to that individual, for this guy, it's hektish. What level of hektish is it? So the answer is, it's the kedushas haguf ninu. It becomes kedushas haguf, it becomes like that korban type of case. And therefore, I could make it hektish right away. Now, the halacha that the Gemara is going to focus on right now is not the redemption part of it. The redemption part of it was just an example to show that there are two different levels. But rather, what it does is, when I donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, for the item itself to be used, that is a much higher level or stronger level of hektish. Okay, it's a little bit counterintuitive that the thing that has more kedusha is easier to be poida. But we're not going to get into that sugya right now. It's a little counterintuitive. But the point is, it's a stronger hektish. And that stronger hektish can even override other people's rights to it. Okay, like, let's finish the next line of the Gemara. It's a famous line of the Gemara. The Kodarava, the Amarava, hektish, chometz, v'shichur, mafkiyen, bidei, shibud. That there's hektish can override even a shibud. What does that mean? We'll define each case, but let's talk about hektish now, because that's our focus. Hektish means like this. Let's say I promised you I owe you money, right? I owe you money, and I said, if I don't pay you back, you could take this field. You could take this field. Now normally, even if I sell this field to somebody else, you could still go get it. If I make it hektish, hektish is so strong, that's what I'm focused on. It's so strong that I can make it impossible for you to get it. You can't get it. Even if I sold it to some random guy, you could get it. You could pull it out of that other guy, you go to Besdin, you get it. If I make it hektish, hektish is so strong you cannot get it. So therefore, koinomos is on that level. Koinomos is so strong that even though you're right, I'm not allowed to make it hektish to somebody else. If she makes her hands yodayim hektish, that hektish is the upper level hektish. It's so strong, it could even override a shibud, because that was our whole problem all along. Our whole problem all along is, how could she make this neder? Her hands are meshubid to the husband. It's the same word even. It's meshubid to the husband. The answer is, hektish is so strong, and it's that higher level of hektish that she could even override a shibud to somebody else by making it hektish. That's the type of level koinomos are, and that's why we have to compare koinomos to hektish. Okay, so that's the answer to our question. Really, davar shelo ba'olam doesn't work, but her hands and making a koinom is so strong it could undo and override her previous obligations. That's how the Gemara answers the sugya. But just to finish what Rava said, we have the case of hektish, which we just discussed. We have the case of chometz, which is that if I gave chometz as my collateral on Erev Pesach, a week before Pesach, I made a deal with the guy. The guy lent me $100. And I said, okay, if I don't pay you back, you get this bag of bread. The halacha is, when Pesach comes, even though the bread is meshubed to the guy, it still becomes chometz. Okay, chometz is stronger than the shibud, and similarly shichrur, if I promise you, again, I borrowed $100, I owe you $100, and I say, if I don't pay you back, my slave will become yours. Great, the slave is a great piece of property. However, if I free the slave, he's not a slave anymore, doesn't matter that he's meshubit to you, he's not a slave. So those are three exceptions to the rule that even though I have a promise and an obligation to you, I can override or undermine your promise. You get it? Those are the three exceptions to the rule. Anyway, that's what's relevant, but what's relevant to us is the level of hektish, that the hektish can override an obligation, a previous obligation to somebody else. Okay. So fine. So the Gemara says, one second, if that's true, according to our explanation now, that koinomos are so strong, they could even override, so then v'niktashe mehashto. So then why doesn't Itaka become hektish now? Why are you only worried about, remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri was talking about a koinom, he said, what was his concern? That you might divorce her and remarry her. But he agrees at the moment nothing happened. So I don't understand. We just said 2 seconds ago, it's so strong, it could override the shibud. So why doesn't it happen right now? It's so strong. Let it happen at the moment. What are you waiting for later when she gets divorced? Let it happen now. So the Gemara answers, you're right. However, Amul Rabbanan l'shibud debaal, the Rabbanan said the shibud to the husband is so powerful, kihech deloy taktish mehashta. So that the wife can't do exactly that. In other words, when they instituted this concept of the obligation of the wife, they instituted it in such a way that even though under normal logic or the normal rules of the field work, that her promise can override her obligation. But the Rabbanan said, too bad. In this is the one exception to the rule. the shibud to the husband is even stronger than that promise that's normally stronger than the shibud. that's what they're saying, that this is the exception to the Rabbanon made her obligation to the husband so strong that there's nothing she could do that even though under normal circumstances she can get out of it, they're not going to let her get out of it in this case. They made his shibud even stronger than her shibud. Her right to make it hektish. Okay, so it's apparently there are different levels. There's the regular normal concept of shibud. There's the level of hektish which is stronger than shibud, and then there's the shibud to the husband which is even stronger than the hektish which is stronger than a shibud. Okay, that's. So this happens to be the exception to the rule, and therefore, so just to sum up, the maskana of the Gemara is really okay because we've gone a lot of back and forth and back and forth. So really, what's the answer to the question? Really, Shmuel does paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, which is that when normally a wife makes a promise, when the husband says that I want to make your maisi yadayim hektish, nothing doing. He doesn't have a right. If he's not paying her for it, if he's not giving her the ma'al kesef or the mazonis, whatever it is, if he's not paying her for it, he doesn't have the right to it. He doesn't have the right to it, so it doesn't become, why? Because it's a davar shelo ba'olam, it doesn't exist. At the same time, and what makes this Gemara so complicated is Rabbi Yochanan, Shmuel does paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Anuri in the context of kainamos, because kainamos are an exception to the rule, because kainamos are so strong they could even override a regular shibud. And that's why we do have to worry about when she gets divorced, that then it will be chal. It cannot be chal now, because the husband's shibud is even stronger than that. But her nether could be chal, because under normal circumstances, her promise to kainam is even stronger than a regular shibud. So it's not a contradiction for Shmuel to paskin like both of those concepts at the same time. So it's not the next mission in the middle of Nun Tesim Beis. Ve'elu melochai sha'isha oisa lebalo. The following work is a type of work that a wife should be doing for her husband, which is included in the concept of getting married. Toichenes, she should grind. She should grind for him. Ve'oifa, she should bake. Mechabesa, she should clean. Vivashela, she should cook. Menika, esbena, and she should nurse the children. Moitzas loy hamito, she should make the bed. Ve'oisa betzemer, and she should do a little bit of work with the wool to produce some income. Okay, so those are the basic ideas that a wife should do, run the house. Okay, at the same time also be able to, produce some sort of earnings a little bit. Okay, now, this because the husband needs these things to get done. So therefore, the Mishnah now says, "Echnisa loy shifcha achas." Let's say she has a maidservant that's able to help her. Loy toichenes v'loy oifa v'loy mechabeses. So then, at that point, she doesn't have to do everything anymore. She has a helper. So the helper is able to do the grinding and the baking and the cleaning. Good. Shtayim. Now she has two servants that are able to help her. Einam b'vashel. She doesn't have to cook anymore. Ve'einam b'nika es b'no. And she doesn't have to nurse her child either, which is very time consuming. That maidservant can help with that. Shalosh. Once you have a third maid, ein matzas lo yamito ve'ein oisa b'tzemer. So if she has three, she doesn't have to make the bed and she doesn't have to do the work on the loom anymore. Okay. Arba, once she has four slaves, four servants that are able to help her with anything, Yeshevus Bekastara, so then she's able to sit in, Machlokes Rishonim actually what this means, whether it means on a bench, or whether it means in a tent, or whatever it is, but basically she can sit in her own private place, and she doesn't have to do any work whatsoever. But I'll point out to you though, there is a Machlokes Rishonim over here, when it says, even if she doesn't have to do any work, obviously those intimate things that are a relationship between the husband and wife, she still has to do. We're talking about work, you know, what we would define as work. That she doesn't have to do anymore. However, there are other shittas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, afilu echnisa l'meyah shifchos, even if you have somebody to deal with everything, koifa lasos betzemer, he can still force her to work. To go to work and do something. Why? Because if a woman is sitting around doing nothing, she ends up being involved in znus. You got to do something. It ends up you're getting involved with something. Rav Shimon Gamliel says a different reason. Even if the husband says, I don't want you doing anything, I mamish don't want you doing anything, then he's going to have to divorce her. Why? Because sitting around doing nothing makes you go crazy. You know, you can't force her to go crazy. You can't restrict your wife from doing anything. And the Gemara actually is going to discuss this concept a little bit further. You cannot force her to do nothing. I think it's very nice, and I want you to be all beautiful and everything, and sit around and doing nothing. But you can't do nothing. You have to be doing something. You have to have a purpose in life. And therefore, a husband, if he forces his wife to do nothing, has to divorce her. That's the Mishnah. Now, let's talk about the specifics over here. Toichenes, Salkadaitach, so you think that she has to literally be the one grinding the kernels? Ela'em, because as Rashi says, because normally you put it into the grinder and then the water mill does the rest. She's not actually doing the grinding, she's just setting it up. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's what we mean. Ela'em, matchenes, that she does the pre-work to make sure that it gets, that it ends up being ground. But she has to be involved. Or you could say, or we're talking about specifically a hand grinder. So then, she has to do it physically. So then, you're right, if they're not rich enough to have a water mill, so then, she has to do the grinding. Okay, fine. So that defines one of the points. But the Gemara now says, very interesting. This whole Mishnah, the whole concept that she has to be doing things for the husband, is not like Reb Chiya's Shita in general. The Tani Reb Chiya, because Reb Chiya, this is a Braisa, by the way. This is not just some random thing. This is a Braisa. It says, Ein Isha El Liyofi. The purpose of the wife is for her beauty. So she is just there for her beauty. She doesn't have to do anything else. Ein Isha El Labonim. She's there for the children. The Tani Reb Chiya, and we learned also Reb Chiya taught us, Ein Isha El Tachshita Isha. That the purpose of a wife is to wear jewelry. Again, same idea that she should be beautiful. The Tani Reb Chiya. And Reb Chiya even takes us further. Haroitza Shiyadin Es Isha, Ishtoi. A person who wants to make his wife look beautiful so that she looks beautiful for him. Yal Bishena Klei Pishton. He should put the flax, Pishton on her because those are easy to wear. They're comfortable. And if she's comfortable, she's able to be beautiful. Haroitza Shiyadin Es Bitoi. If a person wants to make his daughters beautiful so that they should be desirable. Yachilenu Efroichin. He should give her little birds to eat, little, you know, chicken, whatever, what are they called, the little birds, to eat, the yashkenach cholov, what? Capons, right. You should feed her capons, the yashkenach cholov, and she should drink milk, samach lepirka, before she matures. So that is something that will keep her beautiful, and so on. Then, the next part of the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes, is Manika Espinosh, she has to nurse. So, Leim Masnisin Deloy Kebe Shammai. So, this concept of whether a wife is obligated to nurse the children is a machloikis. If so, and our Mishnah seems to say that is an obligation, that she is obligated to nurse. If so, it's not like Beishamai, Detani, we have a Braisa that says, Nodra Shaloy Lohanik Espinosh, if she made her nether, I am not nursing. I don't care. I don't want a nurse. So Beishamai Oimrim, so Beishamai Takaseh, Shemet Estod Mipiv, that she's able to take her, literally translated her breast out of his mouth. She doesn't have to nurse. She made the nether, she's not obligated to nurse. So that's obviously not like our Mishnah, because it's saying she's not obligated. Ubeishil Oimrim Koifo Minikasa, that you do force her to nurse, that you could force her. So it seems like our Mishnah is only according to Beishil, not Beishamai. Niskarsha, now under those circumstances, Eina Koifa, yeah, you can't force her anymore because now they're not married. A husband can't force his wife to do anything after they're married. However, even that, v'imhoya makiro, but if the baby recognizes her, what does that mean? That the baby refuses to nurse from anybody else other than the mother? So then, noisim lo schara, the koifu minikasoi, then the husband actually has to pay the wife because they're exes at this point, they're not married, so he has to pay her and will force her to nurse, mipnei asakana, because otherwise the baby's gonna die. The baby's not gonna nurse. So, she has an obligation just because for the sakana of the kid. In any event, we see the point is that according to Beis Shammai, that she is not obligated. She can say, I don't want a nurse. Afilu tema Beis Shammai. No, it's possible to say our Mishnah works like Beis Shammai. The case over here is specifically where she made the nether and then the genius husband said, okay, no problem, you don't have to nurse. Now, once the husband latched on to the fact that he didn't have to nurse, now, then what are you going to do with this baby? So, Kasabri Beis Shammai, who knows the nether when she now? So, Beis Shammai's shita is, well, once the husband agreed with her, the husband is the one who created the problem. Because the husband could have been mefer, and instead he agreed with her, so now he's stuck. Now she's gonna have to, now he can't force her to nurse. Ubeis Hillel Savri, he nosna esva ben shineho, And Beis Hillel says, no, it's really her fault. She made the nether. Yes, it's true that he didn't undo it when he could have, but at the end of the day, it's her fault she made the nether, and she really couldn't make that nether in the first place, and therefore she's still obligated to nurse. Fine, so that's a side machlekes. But the base is, we all agree, even Beis Shammai agrees, that if she didn't make the nether, she would be obligated to nurse. Fine, so now let's finish off with this last line. V'niflagu v'ksubasa ba'alma. Why are we talking about nursing? Let's talk about general, all those things that, you know, she says, I don't want to do anything for you. Why are we talking about nursing specifically? That's one kasha. V'oid, and besides, Tanya Beis Shammai Yoimrim, we actually have a Beferish Abraisa that says, Eina Menika, that Beis Shammai says that a wife does not have an obligation to nurse. So it's not a question anymore. Beis Shammai clearly states she does not have an obligation. So the Gemara agrees and says, "Elamichaverto, you're right. You have to go back to the first pshat." Masnisin deloike Beis Shammai. Our Mishnah is not like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is of the opinion she doesn't have to nurse if she doesn't want to, and she doesn't have an obligation to the husband. And our Mishnah holds not like Beis Shammai. So that's it. It's machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. It's not the end of the world that we hold like Beis Hillel. And our Mishnah holds like Beis Hillel that says that she doesn't have an obligation to nurse. You can't come up with any terutzim. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up from this last line next time.